Praise God. I'm going to be reading tonight from the 17th chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 17. First verse. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the mountain Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let me just give the background of the reading of the word. The children of Israel had been delivered by the mighty hand of God out of Egyptian bondage. They come to the Red Sea, and God had opened the waters of the Red Sea, and they had walked across on dry ground. But that's not all. When they got on the other side and the Pharaoh's army came into the dry river bed, the Bible said God allowed the waters to come down upon them, and they witnessed the complete destruction of Pharaoh's army. And afterwards the Bible said, listen to this, they joined together on the banks of the river, praising God, thanking God, rejoicing in the Lord. Let me ask a question. How do you suppose that sounded? Don't you know something? Here's some 3 million cross the Jordan, cross the Red Sea on dry ground, and now the enemy has been destroyed completely, and they're standing on the banks and seeing the dead bodies of the Pharaoh's army, and they are saved on the other side, headed for the promised land, and they began to shout and praise and magnify God and give glory unto the Almighty God. Brother, I imagine it must have been something. Thank God, thank God. Then sometimes later, the Bible says when they were thirsty and they were tired and they had walked across the desert sands and they came to a place called Rephidim, and the Bible said there they chided with Moses because there was no water. They murmured, they complained, they chided with Moses, "Why did you bring us out? Why did you bring us across the Red Sea? Why were all of this? Why? And now here we are, we're gonna thirst, we don't have any water, we'll die. And without water we cannot live, we'll die." And God, the Moses not knowing what to do, he went to God in prayer. It's always a good thing to do. God said, "Moses, take some of the elders, go to Mount Horeb, hold them. Stand there, and I'm going to stand on the mount. I'm going to take that rod that you have in your hand. I'm going to smite the rock. And when you smite the rock, I'm going to send fresh water. And the water will satisfy the cattle and all that 3 million people. And the thirst will be satisfied." Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. God says, "Smite the rock." And when you read from the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians, you find out that Paul said on that occasion, they followed that, they went to that rock, and the rock was Christ. Amen. Paul said that 1500 years later. He said, let me turn there. I've got a marker in my Bible. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read the 10th chapter. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." While they were in the wilderness 1500 years earlier, before Christ had ever come on the scene. He's the Son of God. He's forever and forever. And the Bible's Paul said, and the rock that he smote, and the water came forth was Christ. What are you saying, Brother Jones tonight? When God says, smite the rock, he realized there was something that's going to happen to save the people's lives. First water. Then they wrote this down. Water is a type of salvation. The washing of the water of the Word. Down in Ephesians, what are you saying, preacher? God said, smite the rock, and now he will give water. He's the spiritual water supply. I read the fourth chapter of John. You are familiar with the story of the Samaritan woman going to the well to draw water. Every day she's living an ungodly life. She goes alone because the other ladies of the town will not go with her. Because she's been ostracized by her lifestyle. And she goes to the well to draw water. And when she goes to the well, at Samaria, the Jacob's well, she finds she meets Jesus. Let me say one other thing right here. Anyone that meets Jesus, there's a change. They might not get saved, but they'll always remember they met Jesus. She met the Lord, and they got to talking, and he asked for a drink, and as they were conversing, he said, if you just drink of the water that I shall give you, you'll never thirst again. And she said, in a sense, she said, sir, give me some of that water. So that I might have to come down to the well every day, with a pitcher on my head or a bucket on my shoulder, to draw water. Give me some of that water. And Jesus was talking about living water, spiritual water. And she received him. She believed that he was the Messiah. She accepted the living water. And the Bible says she left the water pot at the well and went back home so excited to tell what the Lord had done and who she had met. Amen. I believe when you meet Jesus and receive him in your heart, you've got something to share. Amen. The world is dying to hear what we have. Amen. They're dying to hear of Jesus in the real sense of the word. And the Bible says that she left the water pot there and went. She drank of the spiritual water that Jesus had given her. Let me leave this with you, and I'm going to hurry along tonight. Jesus satisfies. Jesus is the rock of ages. Jesus saves. He's the giver of living water. I am glad that I can tell you tonight, without any fear of contradiction whatsoever, I was dying spiritually, dead. Yes. Had no hope. But when I met the Master, and I drank of the spiritual water, you know what it's called? He said, and that water will be well up within you. It'll be living water, like springs of living water. We sing that. Springs of living water. It's like an artesian well. Anyone know what an artesian well is? It just keeps on. Keeps on, keeps on. You don't have to go back and pump it and pump it and pump it and get another cup of water. The water's alive. It's alive. Let me share with you tonight. The water of the Word of God is alive. It satisfies. Amen, amen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Chapter number 32. Chapter number 32. Hallelujah. I'm going to read verses 9 through 13 of the 32nd chapter. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land. And in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. And as an eagle stirreth up her nest, turneth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them up on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no stranger, no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. I'm going to try to tie some things together tonight. First of all, out there in the wilderness, and they were thirsting at Rephidim, and the people were murmuring and complaining, and Moses went to God, and God said, go to Mount Horeb, and take the elves, and strike the rock, and when they struck the rock, the water came out, and they left there satisfied, having been satisfied, the thirst satisfied in their lives. I want everyone to understand tonight, that rock is Christ, and when the Lord gives us living water, it satisfies. I'm just testifying right now, I'm satisfied with Jesus. The rest of the
Jesus, I want to say it this way, I want him to be satisfied with me. That's my desire. That's why I'm living. That's why I'm living for him tonight. That's why I'm serving him. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to be satisfied in his life. I want him to be satisfied with my life. I am satisfied with Jesus. I'm not looking for anyone else. I found the one that I desire. His name is Jesus. And now, we come to Deuteronomy. Let me put this in perspective. The book of Deuteronomy. They have crisscrossed the wilderness almost 40 years. Coming down to the end of Moses' life. He's getting close to 120 years of age. And now he's going over, repeating or renewing or refreshing in their minds what God has done. How God has taken care of them. How God has blessed them. And he writes the book of Deuteronomy. Going through all that has transpired during the crossing the desert. And now we come to this 32nd chapter. And he's still saying about the rock. And he says, suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. And so I want to mention tonight, I've mentioned the water from the rock. I want to mention tonight the second part, honey from the rock. It's amazing how many times you find honey in the Bible. God said to Abraham, I'm going to give you and your seed a land that's flowing with milk and honey. When they got out in the wilderness, that great crowd of Israelites, God sent down manna out of heaven, and the Bible says it tasted like wafers made with honey. Then I read about John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord, who's called the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He had a diet, the Bible says, of wild locusts and honey. Locusts and wild honey. Honey. And now God says, suck honey out of the rock. Let me use a couple of illustrations. There's a story of Samson in the Bible. He's the 13th judge of Israel. He's got his eyes on a young lady in Timnath. He's going to visit her. On his way to Timnath, the Bible says, a grape vineyard. He's going by the grape vineyard, and a young lion came out of the grape vineyard. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, came upon Samson, the young man, the champion of Israel. The Spirit of God came upon him, and the Bible said he took that lion and he killed that lion with his bare hands. Don't try it unless God anoints you. But all things are possible with God. He killed the lion. He went on. Sometime later, he's coming back that same way. He has in his mind, I wonder about that lion that I killed and left as a corpse. Went into the vineyard and found the carcass of the lion. And the Bible says when he got there, he saw a swarm of honeybees. And they have honey in the carcass of the lion. And he reaches down with his hand, the Bible says, and gets handful of honey. And goes on his way, eating the honey, refreshed, energized, enlightened. Honey. They tell me now that honey's good for you. I am not much on health foods, but I'm not against them for sure. But when it comes to honey, the Bible says he reached down his hand and got a handful of honey and went on his way. And listen to this. His mom and his dad was with him out there, and the Bible said he gave them. How did he give honey out of his hand? I don't know how he did it, but they enjoyed the honey with him. This is the part that I want us to understand. God said to the children of Israel, I want you to suck honey out of the rock. Something that enlightened. You've seen the advertisement tonight. I couldn't remember it, and I still don't remember tonight, but they've got that advertisement. You get a little old bottle about that tall for 5 hours. It'll get you going. You know, you've seen it. They've got a commercial. Somebody about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they've had lunch, and it's time to go to work, and they're just out of it. They just can't get going, but just drink some of that, 5 ounces, I believe it is. 5 ounces of that stuff will do the job. Let me tell you something. I believe coming to God is better than 5 ounces of whatever that stuff is. Here is Samson, the 13th judge of Israel.
dips his hand in the honey in the carcass of the lion. And let me leave this with you. I believe that as he reached down and got the honey, that God had supplied it. God was taking care. The Bible says, and that rock that they followed in the wilderness was Jesus. It was Christ the Lord. And out of that rock came fresh water. He's the supplier of living water. I somehow believe that that rock where the honey came from was actually Christ providing. It's a type in here. That's why another place in the Bible it talks about, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Taste and see. I believe this with all of my heart tonight. The more you taste of the Lord, the more you want. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm satisfied tonight with the Lord is real, but I'm glad that when tomorrow morning comes, I'll need some more. He'll be there to satisfy. Tomorrow evening when the time comes, I'll need some more. He'll be there to satisfy. He satisfies. Amen, amen. And that honey, the Bible says, how that it is energized. Let me give you another illustration. The Bible said there was a time when the children of Israel, with Saul being the king, how that they went out to battle, and his son Jonathan. Saul had given some commands. We're going to fast. We're not going to, anyone going to eat any food until I say so. They would have to fight the battle. And God gave the victory. And the Bible says while Jonathan was coming through the woods, he saw some honey on the ground. And he dipped the rod that he had in his hand into the honey. And he put it to his mouth and he ate. And it was energized. It was a light, the Bible says. The honey did the job. Listen to what I say tonight. He said, suck honey out of the rock that you need joy tonight and happiness tonight. And all goes with it. It's Jesus is the answer. Honey out of the rock. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jonathan had not heard. You might know the story. When his father came down to it and they found that Jonathan had not, he had not heard what his father said, and so he ate the honey and they were ready to kill him. Saul was ready to kill him, but the people stood up for Jonathan. He has spared our lives. We've got one greater than Jonathan here tonight. His name is Jesus. And he loves us. I mentioned water out of the rock. And the rock is Christ. I mentioned honey out of the rock. That rock being Christ. And the last part of that verse in the 32nd chapter of book of Deuteronomy says, and oil out of the flinty rock. Water. Honey. And oil. Let me use some illustrations in the Bible concerning oil. The prophet Samuel went down to Jesse's house. God sent him there. He said, I've got one of Jesse's sons that I want to be king. Let me just stop right there tonight. God's got a plan. Let me just bring this out tonight. I believe in God's plan is revival for the Abundant Life Tabernacle. Amen. God said to Samuel, go down to Jesse's house and anoint the son that I let you to know, the one that I point out. Go down to Jesse's house and anoint one of his sons to be the king of Israel. And you know the story how they went through the first, second, third, fourth, on down. And here Samuel said, Jesse, do you have any other sons? Jesse said, just one other of ready complexion, I'll take care of the sheep. And Samuel said, we will not sit down till they come. We're not going to sit down, we're not going to rest until they come. I heard Brother Aurel Rex a long time ago in Tucson, Arizona, use that scripture for a sermon text. We're not going to sit down till they come. And the Bible lets me to know if we'll keep on serving, and keep on praying, and keep on working, and keep on witnessing. We'll not sit down until the trumpet sounds, until the Lord comes. Don't slow down now. Keep on running. Keep on walking, Joyce. Amen. Keep on traveling. Amen. What a Savior. What a mighty God. Samuel anointed him, the Bible says, with a horn of oil. In the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, the Bible said that there was a famine in the land, and God said to Elijah, when the brook dried up, I want you to leave it. Elijah, I want you to go to Zarephath. I've got a widow woman there to take care of you. Brother, I like the story. He could have sent him to the king. He could have sent him anywhere, but he sent him to a widow woman. A widow woman that had nothing. I like the way God works. He takes nothing and makes something of it. Amen. And when Elijah arrived on the scene, she is gathering sticks and she's going to make a fire. And Elijah finds out about that and he said, "Ma'am, if you'll just bring me a whole cake first, if you'll just bring me a biscuit or whatever she's making, God's going to take care." She believed it. In essence, she gave the last thing she had to God. Sometimes we don't receive from God because we're not willing to give what He asks. I preached on tithes and I believe it with every ounce of my being. And I have found it to be so. When people tithe, God blesses. God just keeps on blessing. Amen. And so the Bible says she went in the house. She said, "All I've got is just a little cruise of oil. A little meal and a cruise of oil. That's all I've got." He said, "Make me that whole cake first." And she did. You know the story. After she gave him and he ate, and she went back, and there was enough for her and her son. Woke up the next morning, and lo and behold, there's oil and some more meal. And that evening, some more oil and some more meal, and the next day, some more oil and some more meal, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, until the famine was over. God took care of her. He's just as big tonight as he was. Like Brother Tom mentioned last Sunday, he can do anything. We're the ones that limit God. Our God is a big God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says with that little bit of oil, it began to multiply and God began to bless. There's another story in 2 Kings chapter 4 about another widow woman. And you know, you've heard of that story as well. Her husband has died. The bills are piling up. She's got two sons. No work to be found. No money in the house. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And now the people, the Bible said, the creditors come and they want their money. And she doesn't have any money and said, "We will take your sons for the debt that you owe. We'll take your sons to be our servants, our bond servants." She cried out to God, to the man of God, to Elisha. She prayed, "God, help me. God, take care. Help me, I pray." When Elisha came on the scene, he said, "What do you have?" She said, "Nothing but a little bit of oil. Nothing but a little bit of oil." You know, remember the story? He said to take your sons and go out and borrow all the vessels, all the pots and the pans you can get, and bring them in. And when you get in, shut the door behind you, take that little cruse of oil. I don't know how big it was, maybe a little bit larger than this, I don't know. And she began to pour that in the pot. And she watched as she was pouring. The more she poured in, that still had some in the cruse. Fill that pot up, set it aside, pour it in another pot. Fill that one up, set it aside. Fill that one up, and now go to the prophet of God and said, "What I'm going to do?" He said, "Take it and set it and live on the profit you have from the oil." She's sucking oil well in her kitchen. Let me leave this with you tonight. Our God is not only in charge of the spiritual water supply, and not only that, He is in charge of the oil supply. Amen, amen. We've noticed that the cost of gas has jumped up over this past week and night, maybe 20 cents or more. In the news, jumped up in 1 week. And they don't know the reason why. And I'm not worried. You said, "Brother Joe, but you got a lot of money." No, you didn't get it right. I've got a big God. And He owns all the oil. Don't you ever believe that all the oil is over yonder in Saudi Arabia. He owns it all. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, as that cruise of oil and now all the pots and pans, and she said to her son, "Bring me another one." "How did they fill?" They said, "Mom, we don't have any more." "How did they fill?" He said, "Go sell it." Father said, "Go sell it." God took care of them. God blessed them. God met the needs. And I believe this. I believe not only did she was able to save her sons and keep her sons, I believe she had enough money to raise her sons and keep them. That was better than Social Security. Amen. You just can't beat God. But I've mentioned some things tonight for this purpose. When I preach twice on Sunday night, I don't have a lot of wind left, but let me leave this for you tonight. The Bible says that water from the rock, and the rock is Christ. That water is a type of salvation. The Bible says in Paul's writings, as a
the washing of the water of the Word. I've mentioned in Bible study it takes two things in order for anyone to ever be saved. It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will take the Word, apply it to a man's heart. That's why I'm believing for revival, that somehow the Word of God will reach down deep in the hearts and lives of people as they come to the services, and God will do a work in their lives and your loved ones and mine. Amen. And the Bible says that that honey is a type of joy and refreshing and enlightenment. And I believe that honey is a type of sanctification. If you really want to be sweet in your heart, be sanctified. Amen. Some people have the idea when you're sanctified, you're sort of drab. I wonder if that's the right word or not. Droopy. I don't know if I've hit it yet or not. You don't have anything to live for. You're sanctified. You're holy. You don't enjoy life anymore. Brother, that's exactly the opposite. When you're sanctified, you love God with all your heart. You love one another. The joy bells are ringing. Amen. There's peace like a river. Amen. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Bible says the joy of our Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Brother, sanctification makes you strong. Hallelujah. The water representing salvation. The honey representing sanctification. The oil representing the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of Almighty God. When people are anointed to be healed, anointed to the minister, anointed to something else, maybe they're anointed with oil, just like it was in the Old Testament times, anointed with oil. The Bible says, lay hands on them and anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I believe the oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Please remember what I say now. Everything that I've mentioned, salvation, sanctification, and the baptism is all in Christ. He's the Savior. Aren't you glad He saved you? He's the sanctifier. And I've already read how He said He'd go back to the Father. And when He arrived, He would send the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When they were there in the upper room and before service tonight, we were discussing some things, and this thought came to me. They were in the upper room in the second chapter of Acts, and they were praising and magnifying God. And all of a sudden, there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and suddenly they were clothed in tongues, like as a fire that came and sat upon each of them, and they all received the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues. Oh, the tongues is the Spirit of God gave us. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe they spoke in tongues one at a time? That was concert prayer, brother. Praising and magnifying God. Worshiping and magnifying God. Some people said, well, Brother Jones, I couldn't understand what they were saying. They didn't understand. When you pray, when I pray, our prayers are directed to Him. He hears every one of us. He knows. And tonight, I'm going to close, but I want us to understand. When He says, strike that rock, I could preach a sermon on that. Striking that rock, Jesus was struck. He was crucified. And because of that, we have salvation tonight. Sanctification, He died. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, He suffered without the gate and shed His own blood that we might be sanctified. Let us go forth therefore with Him without the gate, bearing His reproach. I believe that Jesus died and suffered reproach, shed His blood that we might be sanctified. He ascended into heaven, that He might send the comfort of the Holy Ghost, that we might be filled. He is the Savior, He's the sanctifier, He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. God, give us revival. Give us a spiritual awakening. Smite the rock, and water came forth. Suck honey out of the rock. Suck oil out of the friendly rock. Everything I need tonight is in Jesus. Everything, will you stand together with me? Hallelujah. Everything.